See, at the beginning of every year, we are very familiar with the whole idea of creating resolutions. Like every year comes, we want to do resolution. We want to become better persons, better individuals. And you go online, and there's so many resources for all of us to tap into, like how to become a better person. And some of the advice that I found 2 years ago, I was researching. You find things like set up goals in life, eat healthy. You know, and Matt, you can bring the next slide, please. Some of the things like don't worry. I mean, some of these things are great. I mean, that was in Google that I found it. Like, be kind to others. Forgive those who have offended you. Work diligently. Always love people more than you love things. I mean, when you look at that, great advices. You know, it's a great advice to be able to do those things. Maybe you're familiar with Joel Osteen. He wrote a book entitled Become a Better You. And perhaps you might have read that book. You might have read that book. And in his book, he talks to some of the advices he gives. Like, man, next slide. Keep pressing forward. You know, I mean, those are the main points when you read that book. It's like, be positive toward yourself. Develop better relationships. Form better habits. Embrace the place where you are. Develop the inner life. Stay passionate about your life. When you look at those things that you research online, great advice. The problem with that thing is how you do it. There's a TV show like How Do They Do It? I love watching that because that's how you know how they created so many devices and things. How do they make French fries and things? And I sit down to watch the show. How do they do it? I mean, great advice. Well, how do you keep pressing forward in life? How do you develop better relationships? And there's so many things. You see, I think Google, Joel Osteen, they're still not tapping into the root of the problem. Because, I mean, think about yourself. Like, why is it that we start resolutions year after year, and by the end of January, you threw them out of the window? You cannot keep them. You say, every year you say, today I'm going to quit smoking. Today, I hear an echo. Can somebody just fix me up, please? It's bothering me how I, you know. Somebody with the sound, maybe. You made those resolutions much better. Thank you. And you cannot keep them. Like I said, great thing to be able to do. Be kind to one another. Embrace where you are. Sometimes we don't want to. And we don't know. I mean, what's the problem? Why is it that we cannot keep on going? Everybody say, I'm going to start working out this year or eating healthy. And then you can't. Because there is a problem. These are like just symptoms. They're not dealing with the issue. You know, it's hard for people to love people more than things. It's hard for us to move forward in life. It's hard to be kind to everybody that sometimes when they're not that kind to us. It's hard to do. Why? You see, as believers, even as Christians, sometimes we say, you know, maybe this year I'm going to start trusting God more. Maybe this year I'm going to commit myself to read the Word of God even more, or to pray before I even go to bed or get up in the morning. I'm going to commit myself. But then you might do it a week or two and then it's gone. Why? Because we have to deal with something. The issue here is we have to deal with the way we think. We have to deal with the mind. Like I said, these things are great. You do them, but you can't do them until you change the way you think. You cannot do these things until you are transformed, until you change your mind. It boils down, really, to how you and I think. So the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to a church in Rome. And after the beautiful doxology in chapter 11 of Romans, in 33 through 36, he encouraged the Christian to live for God. And if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 12 today. But before I read that, I want to read the doxology that it's beautiful. Romans 11, verse 33, he says, oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. He concludes that, and then he goes into chapter 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I urge you, brothers, he says, I encourage you, brothers, by the mercies of God, he says, to offer your body as living sacrifices, pleasing and holy to God. Hold on. When you read that, if you know the Old Testament very well, it's like, living sacrifices? What in the world is that? Sacrifices were always dead. I mean, the Jewish people will offer sacrifice to God in order for them to atone, to be in the right standing with God. You had to bring a calf or a sheep or a goat and offer it. You know, that animal had to die so you don't in the Old Testament. So the animal would shed the blood, and that was a sacrifice, a dead animal on the altar. Now Paul says, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer, to bring your life as living sacrifices. Living sacrifices, pleasing, holy. You see, even the animals in the Old Testament has to be an animal without defect, separated, holy, the best. And Paul said, now I urge you to offer your bodies, your life, as a living sacrifice. Somebody said, the problem with living sacrifices is that they don't want to stay in the altar. They want to jump off the altar. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, offering your life, your bodies, as living sacrifice to God, that God will live through you, through your life. It's like what Paul says, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to live my life, if I'm his follower, I gotta live for him. Living sacrifices. Now in verse 2, he goes on and says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the word conform is the word for fashion. In other words, he said, do not be formed, do not be molded by this word. Let me just illustrate it this way. Maybe this will help. Let's pretend this is just the world. This is the world. It's a cookie cutter. Because there's a better translation. The message would say this: do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. So let's say this is the world. And I have Play-Doh in here. What the scripture is really telling me, do not let the world, you know, squeeze you. This is what the world wants to do with us. To the point that we look just like it. I mean, maybe when you start baking cookies, you're going to remember this illustration from now on. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's what Paul is telling the Christians. So we are patterned, molded, formed by the world. We get ourselves out. We look just like the world. Of this world. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, he says. But be transformed. The word transform here is the word for metamorphosis. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. That's what a butterfly goes through. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, he says. So transformation begins really by changing the way you think. You and I cannot do those things we talked about until we change the way we think. That's why a lot of times people always want to be negative, and it doesn't matter what you tell them because that's their thought pattern. You cannot accomplish a lot of things until you change the way you view certain elements in society, until you view yourself through a different lens, through a different eye. In order for us to be transformed, we have to change the way we think. We need a fresh perspective. But I ask that question, like, why is it so hard for people to forgive, to stick to the goals in life, to, you know, to even trust God when you know, to live, even to live as living sacrifices? Why is that so hard? Because we have not been able, we have to deal with the mind first. We have to be able to deal with how we look at things. We don't experience transformation because we have not renewed or changed our thinking pattern. We do have a mind problem. So in order for change to take place in our lives, we need to first change the mind. In order for change to take place in our lives, we first need to start changing the way we think. It starts right here, first. You see, the mind is so complex. We just read, who can know the mind of the Lord? I mean, that's not, we cannot even tap into that knowledge. But we don't even know how to deal with our own minds. It's a complex thing that we have. Scientists can tell us and decipher the human brain. They can tell us everything about the human brain. Everyone knows, you know, that. But you and I know that even the most sophisticated computer doesn't even come close to our human brain. We create computers. We create those bridges and beautiful cities. God gave us that ability to our mind to reason out, to think. And he did not give that capacity to the animals and anything else. Humanity has it. But we still don't even understand our mind. We know the brain. You see, the mind, you can x-ray the brain, but you cannot x-ray the mind. Newsflash, that's another private part that you and I have. Nobody else knows what's going on in your mind. Only you and God. Or the person that you want to tell them. This is what I'm thinking. Now you're sharing what's going on in your head and your mind with somebody else. It's complex. The mind is so complex. See, René Descartes said, I think, therefore, I am. And what he meant by that is that the point was that consciousness is the only sure evidence that you and I truly exist. Some people say, as man thinketh, so is he. The mind is so complex, it's radical. You see, with the mind, the mind is synonymous for your thoughts, the way you reason, the way you come across certain things, the way that you view things in life starts right there in your mind. Only you and God know what's going on in that mind. You see, you can make up your mind. You can change it. Sometimes people say, you are out of your mind. Some people call it double-minded. I mean, what is it? It's complex. You see, in the mind, we allow God to work powerfully in our lives. But in the same mind, we allow Satan to have a field day with us. Everything starts here. You see, there are books written like The Battle of the Mind. Why do you think that is? Because everything starts in your head, in the mind. And then Paul says, in order for us to experience transformation in life, we had to renew. We had to change the way we think, how we look at the world and ourselves. Now, this is another complex thing. God said, the first commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, and mind. So how can we love God and we don't even know how to understand ourselves? I mean, what does that mean to love God with our minds? Maybe I have godly thoughts more than fleshly thoughts. That's the first commandment, the greatest commandment, to love God even with our minds. You see, the mind determines how we act and determines the things we do in life. Gandhi said it this way, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. And your habits become what you value in life. Everything starts with there. I mean, we believe something because we have it in our minds. And that, eventually, what you do in life came first as a thought. Started in the mind. And Paul said, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your body as living sacrifices, pleasing, holy to God. This is only really. You want to worship God, this is what you got to do. Do no longer conform Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, to the mold, to the cookie cutter of this world. Do not conform to that, but be transformed, changed by renewing your thinking, by renewing the way you reason, by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will. You want to know what God's will is? You got to change your thinking. Whatever we do is determined by what we think. The good and the bad first originated as a thought. You see, when you go back into the Garden of Eden, Satan planted a thought to Eve. God had already given the mankind a commandment, do not eat of the tree. So Satan comes along and says, did God really say do not eat of the tree? What did he do? He made Eve think. Well, no, no, hold on. He did not really say, did God? And so now she's thinking, and Satan's job, so that you start thinking to go against God's command. He planted a thought in Eve, and she acted upon that, what she believed. And you know the rest of the story. The reason we have Genesis 4 to Revelation 22 is because what she did, what mankind did, they acted upon that thought. And we're still talking about that and reaping the effect today. See, our mind is a war zone. The battle really starts right there. Satan will attack me and you with jealousy, discontentment, anxiety, unforgiving attitudes. Well, if that person goes, I'm not going. If he goes, I'm not going. And Satan will continue to have a field day in our lives, just in our minds. Self-centeredness. You know, this selfish attitude. You see, Satan planted a thought in Peter. You remember the Apostle Peter? Jesus, in Matthew 16, Jesus explained to them what's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to give you a preview, gang. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. The chief priests are going to mistreat me. They're going to condemn me. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'll be back. Peter said, he heard that, and now he's going to reason it out. It's like, that should never happen to you. Mm-mm. And then Jesus recognized what was going on. Remember what Jesus called Peter that day? Get behind me, Satan. And then he said this, you don't have in your mind the things of God right now, but the things of men. Peter, you need to change that pattern. This is what I came to do. But Satan placed that thought in Peter, and he was going to get thoughts on us all the time, planting different things to look at the world. The foundation of all transformation of character and conduct is laid deep in a renewed mind. A renewed mind is also essential to truly have a practical discernment of God's will in our life. It says, then you will be able to approve, to test. The word there is to examine, to explore God's course of action, His purpose, His plan for your life. In order for transformation to happen, we had to change our mind, the way we look at things, the way we view, the way we reason out. We have to change that first, and then, that's why I say, those things, that great advice, you cannot do them until you change your mind. I mean, you say, I'm going to try. The body does what the mind tells them. You know, when you're lifting weights sometimes, like you want to go a little, but the body's like, you're pushing me, man. And you're already giving up in the mind. You gave up. That's why sometimes people never get well. And there's, I have a grandmother. Every time you ask her, how are you doing? So-so. She might be well, but in her mind, I'm always. And I say, you're never going to get better. Because you're already believing that you're only so-so in life. People are always going to be negative because that's what they have believed. And you know, and sometimes like they don't feel they're pretty because they believe that the world already said that you had to look this way for you to fit in the world. And they believe that rather than what God tells them to do. And then that's why we need a new mindset. We need to change our mind to look at the world, to look at ourselves through a different perspective and not the world squeezing us into its mold. But it's hard. But in order for us to be changed in life, we need to change first our mind, our thinking. See, we're not to be molded or conformed to the ways of this world because God already has given us one. In Romans 8:29, this is what God says. Paul is talking about, but this is what Paul... 8:29... For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. There's the word. To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Wow. That He might be the firstborn from among the brothers. Let me go back to my illustration again. Remember, he said, do not let the world squeeze you. The world already has a pattern for us. He has a mold, a cookie cutter. The world said you have to talk this way, you have to look this way. I mean, the world said this is okay. Try to squeeze us into so that we look just like the world. Paul said, do not be conformed to that pattern. Do not let the world mold you, squeeze you into its mold. And then now we learn that God already gave us one. He says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined. He already set up the plan in action. He says, so that they be conformed, patterned, fashioned, molded to the image of his son, to the image of Jesus. In other words, God's plan for you and I is that we look like Jesus. I know this is going to be a little bad illustration. Let's say that this is what God told us to do. Remember, we have the world. God gave us another one. So God said, I want my people to be squeezed into Jesus. So by the end of the day, that you come out looking just like Jesus. And so it's like, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the, you don't need that anymore, to be conformed to the image of his son. That we, you and I, God's people, start to look like Jesus to those around us because he already gave us a pattern. And we are to be molded, not like the world, but like Jesus. And sometimes, you know, you have gone through life and people, based on what you're doing, people look at you and say like, wow, there's something different about you. You changed, man. What is it about you? And that's exactly what it is. It's because you operate by a certain standard. Not the world standard, not the world pattern of way of doing things, but the Jesus way of doing things. He said, for those he foreknew, he predestined. He set up the planning motion so that we be conformed to the image of his son. Man, that's amazing. God already gave us that. You and I need to be squeezed into Jesus. We are told that our thinking, in the Bible it says, think about the eternal rather than the temporal. Solomon was talking about that today. The Bible says about walk by faith, not by sight. Because the world says, no, you got to see it first. Jesus said, walk by faith. Just trust me, man. I got you. Trust me. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You and I, my brothers and sisters, we are to be molded, shaped by Jesus. You and I need to adopt Jesus' perspective, his thinking, the mind of Christ. That's why Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he said in Philippians 2:5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who in very nature, he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. The attitude of Christ. Our mind needs to be renewed, needs to be changed with Christ. You see, that's what I was telling you. Sometimes as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not going to change us until we let him loose. And what blocks him? Our thinking. I was thinking about that. Like, you don't hear anything about transformation without the Holy Spirit because the whole idea of working out your salvation, you have a part to do. God, we're not going to force himself on you until you let him say, come, Lord. So you block him with the mind because of what you think. So we have to adapt the thinking, the mind of Christ, to be molded just like Jesus. You see, when that happens into our lives, then truly we're going to find out and we're going to be truly living sacrifices for God. Our standard has already been given, Jesus. When we embrace Christ's pattern, we look at ourselves through the eyes of Christ. We look at ourselves, we look at our world through the eyes of Christ. When that happens in your life, you can say goodbye, low self-esteem, because you look at yourself through the eyes of Christ. He says, I love you, you're beautiful, and you don't have to depend on somebody else to tell you that you're nice, because God already approved you. But that's when you look at yourself with the eyes of Christ, because we're competing. God's already said, no, you are special to me. I created you. I gifted you. And you are special. And the world says, no, you ain't. And then we're like, who are we going to believe? man, you and I need to renew our minds to think the ways of Christ. He created you. He has a purpose in you. When we adapt Christ's perspective, we look at the situation through the eyes of faith. And you realize, yes, it hurts right now. I have no idea how I'm going to get out of this pit. But he still has a plan. He's still in control. And I'm going to trust him. And you look at every situation through the eyes of faith. You say, to the eyes of Jesus. When you adapt that thinking, when you change your mind, and then transformation really is going to start happening in your life. You won't be afraid. When I was writing the sermon, I was thinking about all the people in the Old Testament that got called. Moses already thought, I can do this job. Remember Moses? God said, hey, I want you to go back to Egypt. It's like, who am I? He was looking at himself through the eyes of Moses. And Jesus and God said, I know who you are. I created you, but that's why I'm sending you to Egypt. And he almost wanted to tell God, maybe you made a mistake because who am I to go to Egypt? Moses. And finally, Moses went. God could have, think about that. Obey God, man. He's telling you, if God sends you to do something, don't second guess God. We do that all the time, don't we? Maybe that's not really what... Because again, we're thinking like, that's not what I want to do. Everybody, Gideon, God said, hey, you're going to go and lead a nation. But I'm the weakest of my tribe. Looking at himself through the eyes of statistics. When Samuel went to choose David, a king of Israel, he went over there to Jesse. Jesse has 7 sons, and Jesse presented all the sons to see which one will be the first king of Israel. Samuel, the great prophet Samuel, he goes and he looks at this big guy comes, and he goes and he says, like, this gotta be it. This guy is like beautiful, he's strong, that gotta be it. And so it's like, and then the Lord said, no, he ain't. That's not the one. Another one comes. No, they ran out of sons. Samuel's like, okay, are those all your sons? And then Jesse said, no, the little ones is in the field taking care of the sheep. Well, send them too. God already rejected those ones. And here comes little boy David. And God said, anoint him. See, Samuel was looking at all those other guys through his own eyes. Statistically speaking, oh, he should be king. He's tall. He looks like a king. Not for God. He was looking at everything else through the eyes of the flesh. And God said, I want David to be my king. And he anointed David. I mean, all the people in the Bible, they were able to do things once they changed their perspective. Jonah had to be swallowed by a fish to change his perspective. God just told him, go and preach to Nineveh. And he thought the Ninevites were so bad that they deserved to die. And so he said, well, I'm not going. And God had to utilize something. It's like finally Jonah said, okay, I go. Some of us are just like that. God tried to squeeze us and mold us and shape us. And it's like we're like resisting him. In order for transformation to occur in our life, we need to look at ourselves through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Jesus, whatever situation. It's almost like Jesus is operating through us. I mean, we already know he lives in us. The thing is, sometimes we don't let him. Because we, with our mind, we block him. See, when we adapt his perspective, Christ is going to be evident in you. Because he's the one governing, really, your thoughts. And if we learn that your thoughts determine your action, then you're going to start doing things the God way. You're going to love people that before you could not love them. Maybe you could not even say a kind word to them. And then now you realize, like, wow, there's some changes in my life. Because I can deal with that. And I'm okay. And like Louis was saying, all of a sudden you had cancer and now you're at peace. People's like, you got to be out of your mind to be at peace. Yes, you are, because now something else operates within my frame, within my body, and that's Christ. He gives me that peace that you and I cannot even understand. That's a new perspective. That's a change of mind. Therefore, there will be transformation in my own life. People will say, wow, you have changed. Why is it that you are so cool when I know your world is falling apart? How can you handle that, man? I mean, if it were me, I would just go crazy. But that's because that's you. You're looking at yourself through the eyes of you. I had to look at myself through the eyes of Christ. That's why I can't even stand over here. Remember, I never wanted to be a preacher. I didn't want to preach. My dad's been a preacher for so long. That's what I did not want to do. Because I saw what my dad had to deal with. When you deal with people are going to hurt you. And they're not going to appreciate you all the time. Say, I cannot do that. I cannot deal with that. But God said, I got all the plans for you, man. And I don't care now. Because even you might not like me, I know somebody who does. And I'm going to look at my life through his eyes, through his perspective, because that's what makes me who I am. He does. And it's like, transformation happens when we change the way we think. The world has this pattern for you, that frame for us to be squeezed into. God already gave us one, and that's called Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now think, imagine what our lives could be like. Imagine this for a moment. If we just let Jesus live in us, if we just let him, I mean, we know that he lives in us. I mean, the Bible says that you have the Spirit of God, but what would happen if we just let God's Spirit, God himself, live in us and through us? That we let Jesus love people and serve people and even think through us. I mean, have you ever thought what life would be like if we just let him live through us, and then people will look at you and say, like, wow, you are truly a Christian. It's evident. They're going to see the transformation. It's evident. You cannot hide it. They see it in you, and it's not Gatorade. Is it in you? I mean, they're going to see it based on the transformation that you have. Then, when that happens, then we're going to discover what it truly means when Paul says, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's a new perspective. There's a new mold that God has given us. Well, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, living through me. I serve people because that's what he wants me to do. I love people because that's what he wants me to do. I get engaged in certain things because that's really what he wants me to do. And I do it because that's him living through me. Remember what? Casting crown, and you are the body. Why aren't the hands reaching? Why aren't the voice talking? God, the church is called the body of Christ. The church is supposed to live God, to live Christ's life on earth. We are like the incarnation of Christ. Everywhere you go, at the work, they don't like you, but you still want to be the peacemaker because Jesus said, blessed are the peacemaker. You represent me. And wherever you go, you're going to have obstacles and other things, but there you are what Jesus called. You are the salt. You are the light. And I'm living through you. You are my instrument, the vessel that I'm going to reach out to other people. I mean, what my life will be like if I just let Jesus love, serve, even think through me? But I'm just stay out of the way. So Lord, keep me from myself. Just you do your thing through me. I just want to be the vessel. Just use me according to the, I mean, that's when you're going to realize, wow, this is really change. This is transformation. You see, God is a God of change and transformation. You don't call, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for so long and you feel like, well, I'm not really growing and change. You know what's going on? You need to renew the mind. Open it. Let it come and live in you. He's already there. We have that power living in us and we don't even know how to access that power because our mind blocks him, the way we're thinking. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, the praise team is going to come and we're going to sing the song, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, pleasing and holy to God. This is truly your act of worship. Do no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're going to find out really God's will for your life. Transformation is possible, but it starts right here in your mind.